You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Kalula. We have a wonderful artist who's our special guest tonight, Miss Rachel Scutti, aka La Raca Flaca. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Just the whole world's on pins and needles waiting to see who the president's going to be, but this is a good little detour. Sometimes the world needs that, so I'm very thankful that you were down to do this on election night, because I know you know, and I know it's good to kind of take a little bit of a break. That's right. That's right. So I want to ask you first about your stage name, La Raca Flaca. Tell me what the inspiration behind that was.
The inspiration behind La Raca Flaca was, it dated back to like high school days. My Spanish teacher actually ended up calling me Raca out of just random. And I guess it's short for Raquel, which is Spanish for Rachel. So I always kept that name. I never really understood what it meant, but I always kept it. And then Flaca just came through meeting people. And that was also my name at one point. So I put them together and it kind of just ended up being that stage name.
It's catchy. I like it. It's got
good
rhymes.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's like very edgy. It's got a lot. It's like a party in a name. La Raca Flaca.
When I tell people, they're like, that's a really cool name. And I'm like, thanks. Like, I didn't even realize. It's kind of goofy, but it just goes because it's been since forever rooted in me.
I like it. It's got pizzazz. It's got show business written all over it. So let's go back to the moment of Zen. When did you know you wanted to be a singer, a songwriter, a pop artist? Tell me, what was that moment of Zen for you? Was it, you know, your parents playing music at home? Was it a talent show? What was that moment for you?
I always felt like I loved music ever since I was a little kid. Maybe it was from, my dad used to play guitar, harmonica, but I didn't witness it a lot. So it was more of like just my love for music because they always had music on. And then I got into my own music, like when MTV got really popular, BET, every VH1. And I always just like fell in love every time I would watch like music videos, and it was so frowned upon in my grandparents' house. So I would have to sneak it because they're like, you know, you're too young to be watching this. And I loved it. I started writing my own songs from it. I made like a little CD and these made up characters. Do you remember those cartoon characters for AIM? Like they were like little dolls.
Yeah, totally.
So it was like, I was an only child, lonely child. I just did my thing and I never really thought anything of it. You know, that was like preteen years.
I miss the years of MTV playing videos.
Oh, yeah.
VH1 playing videos. Like, that was an era that it'll never come back in the same way. Now YouTube is like the new MTV, which I'm thankful that that's like become the new MTV. But I miss like watching. I mean, I would watch the countdown. I'd watch all the videos like in order and see who was number one. It was like anticipation. And you're like, you know, just waiting, just, oh my God, who's it going to be? Or you're catching new music that you didn't know or new releases. It's like that era of music was so rich because it was exciting and there was limitations on how much you could, you know, indulge in it. It's like people will never know, like finding a song on the radio that you had to tape or like, you know, any of that. It's just a different generation now. So I love that you had that. What kind of music was playing in your parents' house versus what were the songs that you were like so into as a kid watching the videos for?
I remember my parents playing like classic rock, you know, Led Zeppelin, Aerosmith. I remember that one song, No Rain from, was it Blind? What is it? Yeah. No Rain.
Yeah,
Blind Melon. And that is just so nostalgic to me. I would love to do a cover on that too, because it's like, it reminds me of when I was little. It's just so weird to think about, but so they were classic rock, probably yacht rock too. And then I got into my own thing. Like when Spice Girls came out, crazy about them, you know, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera. But then I also dabbled with like Missy Elliott, Usher, Nas, like, you know, just all in between because I was into all types of genres. There wasn't just one favorite.
And you came from Jersey. What city in Jersey did you grow up in?
Lindenwald.
All right. So like.
It is right next to Cherry Hill, Voorhees. A lot of people know that area.
Okay. That's right. That's right. And what was the music scene like? Like, were there people kind of into rock? I assume everybody thinks Jersey. They think of Bon Jovi. They think of, you know, like, you know, the Bruce Springsteen, like that era of music. But when you were growing up, I assume there was lots of hip hop. There was a lot of rock, a lot of grunge, a lot of pop, a little, it was eclectic, right?
Yep, exactly. That's what I grew up with. So, I mean, yeah, we didn't listen to too much rock in high school. I don't, or no country, but it was definitely that R&B hip hop.
It was an era of hip hop. Like there was, you know, you go to school dances, all of that too.
It's yes.
Like, what's going on, you know? It's like what's going on in the clubs, you know? And then were you taking like singing lessons? Did you join a high school chorus? Like how did you start singing and kind of like nurturing that talent within yourself?
That didn't happen until later in life. I would just like freestyle in the shower, like as a child, like just like make up songs and write, but I didn't know how to sing.
Right.
It's not until I moved out here in 2018 and I started taking some singing lessons here and there. And then I finally got to record like when the shutdown happened, I had more time. So the pandemic helped in that way. And it all came to reality, but it took a move out here to do that.
And you just moved. You wanted to come to LA because the music scene's here and everything's here.
In the back of my mind, I think that's really what, like, I didn't want to admit it because I didn't know any better. You know, everything was new to me. I came out for a person. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm so glad I moved out here because it changed my life. If I was back in New Jersey, I'd be married with kids and I'd be settled down and I wouldn't have never found that passion.
Right.
So I'm putting me first before that ever happens. Like, you
I love that you said that because a lot of people move out here and a lot of people don't move out here. And that's exactly what happens. They just start families because that's like, that's what happens because all their neighbors are doing it. All their friends.
Yeah. What else is there to do?
Yes.
Grow old. But I'm always I like to be the black sheep of the family. So yeah.
That's awesome. I love it. So like when you were kind of thinking about what style of music to kind of like venture into, were you kind of looking at like all of your musical tastes and making a smorgasbord, or did you find like a certain like genre that you're like, I want to be in this world of music and try to just like make a scene happen with that?
I always liked like slow songs, like Alicia Keys, anything slow I would always like jam to, but I guess my genre turns into pop, a little bit of dark pop. Yep. And but R&B comes, I actually collaborate with another artist, Cedric, and we do a lot of R&B, hip-hop, pop. So
I love that.
It brings that out of me. Sometimes it takes another artist, you know? But I'm working on it to do more soul.
I think it's, like, important to find, you know, like, first of all, you find what gravitates toward, what you gravitate towards, and then you find those tastes changing as you keep evolving as an artist. It's like, I always find that, you know, I think I'm one artist in one capacity. And then you realize like music is so like ever flowing, everlasting. It's such a big amount of like tastes that you can choose from. And so it's like when somebody does, I find that when somebody does something really well, it makes you gravitate towards it. And it's like, oh man, I want to do something like this. And that's what I love about artists. It's like, we're constantly reflecting on each other, like how we can influence each other with styles of music or songs. So I hope you never stop exploring styles of music that you want to venture into, because that's what it's about. You know, it's like, but you've been making these cool videos, you've been releasing music. Tell me how exciting that must be. I know that feeling. It's for me, I'm like 20 years in the game, so I always forget, but that new feeling of when you're releasing stuff is the most exciting part of all of this, because it's like, you finally get to like show the world, hey, look, I want to contribute. So what was that feeling like for you?
Kind of like everything was passing. I didn't really feel it at first, but I think the music video that I just did was really living my dream. It's because, you know, I loved music videos growing up and I always wanted to be in a music video, let alone, dang, I'm like the star of it. Okay. But yeah, the Beam Me Up video is by far the best I've ever gotten shot, gotten filmed. So it's a great feeling just to do it and say that I did it, and, you know, just to collaborate with all these great people. And if people like it, great. If they don't, okay. Oh, your opinion matters too. But, you know, it's...
They're going to love it.
Yes, yes. But, you know, I'm learning with music too. It's patience. And that's the hardest thing.
Yes. But you know what? You have this really cool Beam Me Up video. You filmed it in a really cool location. Let's talk about that before we play it, because it's such a unique way to have shot this and done this. Talk a little bit about how you found the spot, how you arranged the whole music video shoot, because I remember telling you at coffee, I said, this video is awesome. Like, tell me how you thought about this. And when you were telling me the story, I'm like, you're thinking like an artist. So I want the world to hear this. Tell me how you kind of pieced this video together and what went into it and how you chose the location and what all went into the preparation for it.
Right, right. Well, the song was written. I knew Beam Me Up, what it meant. So I actually saw an ad on Instagram, probably from doing Google searches. It probably just, you know, came up because they're watching you all the time. So it came up, Airbnb, and I was like, whoa, this looks great. And I looked through, it's an Airbnb in Joshua Tree. And I took a couple months to think about it. And then really when I wanted to start the music video, I reached out to them and talked to them about, you know, I'm just having a small crew here. You know, how much would it be? I stayed overnight. Shout out to Johnny, because he's the one that directed it and really had the ideas of what the music video was all about. Like, I had ideas, I bought the props, I did everything. But as far as directing, he's the man for that. So, you know, yeah, it all came down to that. But the Joshua Tree thing was just incredible. It was, I've never been to Joshua Tree. Stay the night in a little spaceship was amazing. So awesome. Yeah. And it was very hot. Note to self, do it in the off season. But it was just worth it. I think it was worth it. So,
and it was out in the middle of, were you like out in the middle of all the rocks, or were you kind of like just Joshua Tree, desert? Like, what was the vibe like right around?
I guess it was out in the middle of like other residential areas, but everything was very far away from each other. So right. Yeah, I've never been there, so I don't know the other side, but it seemed like it was out in the middle of nowhere. So if you needed help, you better be close with your neighbor, know their number, because it's literally so dark at night. And but it's very cool to be there.
Well, let's play the Beam Me Up video, and sure, then we'll talk a little bit more about this. Here's La Rocca Flocca with Beam Me Up.
Breaking news. We may not be alone. The government has issued warnings across the entire United States of otherworldly citizens touching down beyond us. Citizens are urged to stay indoors. I repeat, this is not a drill. There's been many sightings in Joshua Tree just this morning around 6 a.m., especially around Joshua Tree. Please stay indoors. I repeat, this is not a drill.
Sorrow just creeps up. I can't feel my face. Brains wrapped in wires. I'm so out of place. Promised I'd make it, but that got replaced. Some other happiness that I chose to chase. I try, but I'm misunderstood. Gets harder each day to flee out of the woods. I cry, but I can't shed a tear. Think I just need a one way out of here. So beam me up. Beam me up. Beam me up. Beam me up. Beam me up, beam me up, beam me up. wires, I'm so out of place. Promised I'd make it, but that got replaced for some other happiness that I chose to chase. Trying and try, but I'm misunderstood. It's harder each day to flee out of the woods. Crying, I cry, but I can't shed a tear. Think I just need a one way out of here.
And that's all we have for this evening's news. Thank you so much for tuning in to your favorite Joshua Tree News local TV station. See you tomorrow.
So awesome. I love that you played all the roles, too.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to wear all the masks and faces. And so tell me about, like, some of that process is not easy.
Yes, it took...
You were the news anchor. You were the girl that turned into an alien, turned into all these different parts of the video. Tell me what that transformation was like.
It took all day. It was like a 12-hour day. We started, I was the news anchor. Got that done. Then I was the girl. That took a few hours. And then finally, the alien took the longest. The face took about an hour, hour and a half. And I only wore it for about 30 minutes and then took it off.
Wow, that's crazy.
I wanted to save it so bad, but it was such a great look, and I appreciated all the help. By maybe 9 p.m., 10 p.m., we were done.
Wow, full day. So
very tiring, and very hot day, but I really enjoyed it. It was my most fun music video yet.
And you chose really cool outfits, too. I love that.
Yes. Like,
you're thinking fashion forward, but you're also thinking there's a look to this to make it look cool and vibey.
Yes, because honestly, we could all feel like we need to get beamed up sometimes. I mean, maybe not a one-way ticket, but we need a little vacation.
If it's awesome, a one-way ticket's cool with me. You know, it's like...
I know, I feel you.
Depending on who wins this election tonight, we could probably all want to beam ourselves up somewhere. So tell me about the production. Tell me what went into the vision of the song. You wanted to make a dance track. You wanted to make it kind of like pop EDM. So tell me what influences you were kind of like reaching or kind of like surrounding yourself with.
Well, I had the song written out since a long time ago. I just ended up finishing. And then I gave one of my producers the melody. And he just started, you know, creating the beat and so forth. And we started messing around with that, mixing it up. And then I brought it to Sean, my other producer, and he ended up like mixing and mastering it to the fullest. And it took months, but it worked out. I didn't know it was going to be such an electronic song, but it ended up sounding great. So
I think it's cool that it's electronic because it's kind of the sound of the future in a lot of ways. And the song has that kind of like vibe. So you kind of married the two in a really cool way. I think it's really
interesting
to kind of do it that way. And I love great like EDM songs. They're just uplifting. They make you, they're great to like work out to.
Yeah.
Party to. Like it just has a vibe. It always puts you in a good mood. That's what I love about EDM music. So it's got that vibe. It's just got this like party vibe. So, tell me about like the aliens. How did that come about? Like, were they dancers? Was it kind of like impromptu? Like, how did those guys come about?
I knew I wanted at least two alien dancers, males. I mean, I was thinking, you know, more of like they would abduct me, but not so much in a sexual way, but you know, like more of, it can be whatever you want to think of. that was the idea. It ended up just being like, you know, PG because, but it ended up being great. They did their own thing. The Johnny, the person who recorded it, it was actually one of the dancers. So he was one of the aliens.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. Awesome. So he was, and then he had another person to work the camera while he was dancing. So it was fun. Again, he's great to work with for music video footage. And I'm just grateful that he could direct it that way.
Well, and it's just the interaction between you and the aliens. It's like, it's telling a story. It's such a cool story. You know what I mean? So,
yes.
And I love that you're watching the news in the spaceship, like, huh? Like,
yep.
It's so awesome. It's like a glimpse into the future, what it could be.
Exactly.
You're going to another planet, and then these aliens are just like, hey, we're taking over. And you're like, all right, let's just run with this.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. I love it. So when you're kind of like creating songs, do you come up with lyrics first? Do you come up with a melody first? Do you kind of like think of a concept or a song title first? What's your creative process like?
Actually, it's everything that you've just said. It just depends on the moment. Normally, I'd say I come up with like a melody and lyrics at the same time, and just I'll just write it or record something that I think of. But there's been times where, for example, I was on a track with Said, and I was talking to one of my friends. He was talking about his girlfriend long distance and said, you know, I know she's got baggage and stuff, but she's a safe bet. So I was like, safe bet. I like that word. Wow. And I brought it back to him and I'm like, we're going to sing about this. So that's it goes both ways, but it's like, I'll take him from other people's ideas and be like, well, we could feel like in his position too. It doesn't have to be our feelings.
Yes.
So
no, that inspiration strikes in conversations.
Yeah.
It's like, interesting. Like you hear somebody talk and then words light up. It's like electricity when they say, like, the safe bet thing was probably a transfer of energy to you right away. You're like, whoa, there's something there. There's a story there. I love that. Like, I think that's like one of the things about songwriters that I just admire so much, because where my songwriting teacher in college used to say, find the remarkable in the unremarkable. And I'm like, that is the shit, because we're looking for a story, a situation, an emotion behind something that's right under everybody's nose. So him saying, safe bet, you know, to him, it's just like in passing. But to you, you're like, wait, there's so much of a story. You can write about 10 songs with that same title, because it has this connotation of like having some kind of energy. And I love that transfer that most people won't, that it'll pass them by. That phrase to somebody else would have passed them by, and it's like it stops, because it's like we're looking for words, we're looking for stories, we're looking for songs constantly. So I love that. Tell me what, you know, when you're kind of like singing a song, are you thinking, oh, I want it to be on this radio station or this Spotify playlist, or are you just writing it free, and then as the production kind of comes into place, you're like, oh, I like this? Are you kind of in the flow of that?
It's more that I wish I should start thinking that way, though, especially like putting my songs and trying to get them synced. And when they give me feedback, I always try to think of that type of stuff. But I should start thinking about, is this actually commercial pop or is this your own indie pop? Because although I want to go my own way, I also want to be able to do what's in style, you know, and sometimes I don't take the time to listen to what's in style.
I think you should always follow your instincts. Like, don't follow the trends. Like, don't follow the trends. Follow your instincts,
not the trends. But to catch ears more, because you know how these kids are today, their attention spans are like 10 seconds. So if you don't put something interesting on in the next 10 seconds, well, you lost me. So,
you know, it's funny. It's interesting you say that, because I've had people, like industry people or even, you know, musicians, like, oh yeah, you should do this, you should do that. And I always find myself thinking, if I follow what they want to do and I'm not into it, if I'm not struck by the idea, then I'm going to invest a lot of time, energy, and mostly money too, into an idea that I don't love.
Yes. And
that is hard for me to do. So like, really, it's like if somebody's like, hey, you should do this, I have to immediately go, oh, that's a great idea. I love that. I love that idea. And then let it go in that direction. Or there has to be some kind of artist that inspires me so much that, oh my God, I love what they're doing. I want to emulate this and do a different, a right turn instead of a left turn with what they're doing. But it's so hard to find that, like, you know, that struggle of being following your inner voice and then also making it popular, because there's gonna be 1,000 people tell you, oh yeah, you should do this like a country song. Oh, you should do this like European EDM versus house music or whatever it is. Right. So it's like, at the end of the day, it's like you're always gonna be pulled in all these different directions. The best thing I can tell you is just listen to yourself, because you know what? It's like, I'd rather you be honest with like, yo, I love this, and it catches 1,000 people than something you're not that into and it catches 1,000,000 people. You know what I mean? Like, you can, there's truth serum in that, like in the numbers thing, when you can see when an artist is really behind it, and you've seen it with so many pop stars, you realize they weren't into this pop music that they were delivering. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's, I didn't realize that they're just given songs to sing and then there you go.
Right. Right. It's weird how the industry works. And that's why I ask these questions, because I feel like we forget that we're creators, and like, we create because we love to create. Yes. And that's enough. That's enough. So like, mm-hmm. never forget that. Let's play another song. What do you want to play us next?
Mr. Golden Sun.
All right. That was the one I was going to pick. Here's Mr. Golden Sun by La Rocca Flocka.
Mr. Sun, Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, come out and shine down on me. Oh, Mr. Sun, Sun, you're the only one that can make me feel this free. You cure my heartache from the rain. Just one look takes away all the pain and cleanse my soul when I'm in need. You're the only light I wanna see. I brighten up when I'm with you. Everything gets better that I do. I'm on my bones and clear my head. Dry any tears that I shed. Mr. Sun, Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, come out and shine down on me. Oh, Mr. Sun, Sun, you're the only one that can make me feel this free. You give me strength when I feel weak. Hear me out when I just need to speak. And lift my spirit up so high. All I need are your rays to survive. I breathe you in as you're coming out. I have never had one little doubt. Your words have helped me pave the way. Hate to watch you leave, wish you could stay forever. Sun, Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, come out and shine down on me. Oh, Mr. Sun, me feel this free. That can make me feel this free. You heal my heartache from the pain. You give me strength when I feel weak. I breathe you in as you're coming out. Mr. Sun, Mr. Sun, you're the only
Mr.
one.
Mr. Sun, Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, come out and shine down on me. And Mr. Sun, Sun, you're the only one that can make me feel this way.
Can make me
Mr. Sun, Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, come out and shine down on me. And Mr. Sun, Sun, you're the only one that can make me feel this.
That can make me feel this free.
Love that song.
That was awesome. Since I saw that music video.
Awesome. So hooky. My goodness. Very cool video. I love the scene of you in that tub or whatever with all the lights, like the textures of the lights are just amazing. How did you come up with that concept? How did you come up with the concept of the video? And then we'll talk about the song and the production.
The concept of the video was actually done in a warehouse. There was a bunch of different rooms. And one of my producers actually set it all up. We got like a green screen, and it was more of his idea than anyone's. And then I actually had a one of my friends recorded it. But one scene was a green screen where we put the sand down, and that's where I was, you know, and we put a background. There was a tub just in a random, this was like downtown, right? It's a random construction warehouse. And there was a tub, and we just got lights for that, I think. And then what other scenes were they?
The lights were cool. The lights, I guess, against the white tub. That's what made it so cool, because you could see all the colors, but it was like lit up. It was really, really neat. I loved it.
Yeah, and there was this glass, so it made it look, and I think it actually broke. The glass broke. It wasn't supposed to look like that, so it looked even creepier. And then we set up like a red room area where that's where I sang. And it was actually really cool. It was all done in the same place. So
all one day?
Yeah, all one day.
Wow, that's amazing. And tell us about the song and the production. What was the inspiration behind it? And what was the inspiration behind the production?
So this was the first time that I ever worked with Sean P. Jones. And I know you through him. So thank you, Sean. It was my first project with him, and I gave him a list of songs that I wrote a long time ago during 2020. And we came up with this song. And so I recorded it with him. And behind the song, well, like during 2020, I would walk my dogs for like hours and I would just write. It would be early in the morning. And I would just write lyrics and just make up all these songs. That was crazy. It was weird. You know, what else is there to do?
Yeah, no, it was a dark time. So the fact that you're making something positive is great. It's very
good. But I can never do that now. Like, I can't see myself walking my dog for that long. But that was just like a phase, and I really appreciated the phase. Right. So anyway, I was just like singing. It was just from my childhood memories, the Sun song. And, you know, that was an inspiration. But I actually really do love the song, the sun. And I hate being cold. So really, I was really singing to the sun and just making up these lyrics. So they actually are dedicated to the sun, but after all is said and done, it can be dedicated to anyone.
It
can be
dedicated
your son, your lover, your animal, your pet. So,
well, it's so hypnotic too. Like the hook is hypnotic, the vocal, all of it just like has a vibe. It's like haunting but beautiful. It's like this really cool dichotomy with
me. Thank you.
I love the combination, the production, the video, all of it, the vocal. It's just, it was great. It was really, really great. I loved it. So when you're writing, like, are you thinking, I'm looking at the elements around me? Are you thinking emotional things that you're going through? Is it kind of like a roller coaster of all of it? Are you kind of like struck by one thing and then it turns into something else? This is what fascinates me about songwriters, because it's like you said, you would go on these walks with your dog and it'd be long walks. And out of that, you'd start writing songs. Like, I would never think to start writing a song when I'm on when I'm walking my dog. Like, I just,
yeah.
So like, how are you processing? Are you looking at things? Are you kind of taking in environment? Like, what is that muse for you when you're walking your dog, for example?
I wouldn't be looking around, actually. I'd just be in my phone typing. So it would be more emotional than anything. It's coming out in from in and out. But it's usually nothing around me. It's more of internal feelings.
I love that. And so you're like journaling. You're basically journaling and writing phrases. And are you piecing it together like you're writing it in prose? Are you just writing phrases and then you're like back at home and you're kind of
What could this option be for this word? And I'll do like 3 or 4 options and see what sounds better. But maybe I'll get back to it in a day or two. You know, it just depends.
It's
all over the place, actually, but eventually you piece it all together and it works out.
Well, they call that free form, which is really cool because you're just like in the flow, writing down like stream of consciousness.
Yes. Okay.
Just free like form. Writing like in that place. And then you're kind of like organizing it later, which I find is like amazing because you're just like overflowing with ideas and it's coming out, but you're not editing That's the beautiful part. Like, most people would edit those thoughts and be like, well, maybe I should, but it's good when you're not editing, because
then even if the word doesn't make sense,
yep.
You'll figure out the word, but just go with what sounds and flows, and then you'll come up with a word.
Yes. I love that. No, it's important, because, you know, songwriters, I find like there's different things that will inspire me, whether it's like, I talked to a woman once who lost her husband, and I was like, oh, you were married for how long? She said, we were married for 50 years. And I was like, what was the secret? She said, give and forgive. And I was just like, oh my God, that is a song title. And it just like struck me in this random conversation that I didn't think would turn into something. So it's like, when you're on a dog walk and you're just like flowing with these ideas, was your intention to like write and journal while you're on the dog walk? Or did you just get into a moment where you're like, I just need to write because the world is collapsing, you're in the pandemic, nobody's out, and you're just like wanting to create? Tell me what that experience was like, because I'm fascinated by that muse of inspiration.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm trying to think, what was my motivation? I think it was just, I was so motivated at the time. For some reason, I had so much energy. It was like a whole new world. No one had to go to work. I was working from home. I had like just so many things that I wanted to do, and it just started coming out.
Yeah, well, it's like the whole world becomes still, and like,
yes, everybody's equal.
Yes.
I really do miss that though, in a way, because it's like no one's better than anyone. Everybody's in the same situation. The world kind of stopped. I kind of liked it.
What I liked about it was the whole world stopped, and what they were using to pass the day was music and entertainment, and they had a reverence for the arts. It's like, this is why we do what we do. But at the same time, it's great that we can go see live music again and sports and all those things. But there is a time where it's like the whole world was actually like revering the arts again in a different way, even though it was a lull in economic, movements or just kind of like business in general, but the whole world was like relishing family moments, time to yourself, being in nature. Like, all these things are like almost primal things that we forget about, and it came back to music. So that's why I asked too, because it's like, what a weird time to be inspired, but what a beautiful thing came out of that time to be inspired, you know? So that's why I asked. All right, we're going to play The Mirror next. Is that right?
The Mirror, yes.
Let's set it up. Tell me a little bit about the inspiration behind this song.
The Mirror, actually, one of my older friends, well, he moved back to Jersey, but he was out here for a little bit, took piano lessons from him a few times, but he gave me this beat, and it was some of the beat off of The Mirror, and I said, hey, could I use this? Just the beginning. And we created it into a song, Sean and I, and I had a lot of the lyrics down, but basically the song is about chasing your dreams, not giving up, you know, being resilient. Just,
I love it.
You have to listen to it. It could be perceived in many ways, but who are you? How bad do you want it? Basically.
I love it. Oh, I already love this song already. Here's The Mirror by La Rocca Flocca.
My son, I have just realized that we are both fools, but mine is the greater folly, for I am an older fool.
Looking in the mirror, my whole vision's getting clearer. Yesterday I feared you, but today I'm riding with you. Clock was ticking slowly, I looked up and now I'm 30. Thinking back on what is mine, I'm running out of time. Yes, I'm getting older, is a dream and just a sign. Just like that.
chasing dreams, can't be stopped. I'm here to shine.
Looking in the mirror and my vision so much clearer. All these years I feared you, but today I pull the trigger. Clock was ticking slowly, I looked up and now I'm 30. Thinking back on what is mine, I'm running out of time. Ooh. Yes, I'm getting older, is this dream and just a sign? Ooh. Looking in the mirror and I'm chasing Jesus' lines.
Love, you have a fascination with the macabre or like dark stuff. Like, tell me what that fascination's like. Because
I guess I do. I mean, I didn't really notice until I started seeing a trend, and I'm like, maybe I'm a little emo. No, it's just a little. I like it though. I like it.
Yeah, no, I've gone to many a graveyard to see, you know, people that I've admired that are, you know, like that's just kind of like the fascination of like where you're at and. Like, I've done tons of stuff like that. So I think there's a fascination with death in general when we're alive. It's like, we don't know what's on this other side. And that's part of the curiosity of life. It's like, oh, what is going on with that other side of?
Absolutely.
Of it's cool. And I'm going to give you a huge compliment. I love that all your videos are so visual. Like, you really have thought about the concept of what it is to be visual. How to make a short film. You're making like short films and all these music videos. And I can tell that you love music videos because you have attention to detail with outfits, costumes, lighting, like the set, like having all those things. It's important. You're thinking like a director. You're thinking like an artist. Tell me what went into that. Like, was it your love of film as a kid? Was it the music video thing that you just fell in love with? Because it's very cinematic. All your videos are very cinematic in all different ways.
Thank you. No, I mean, I really have to give a shout out to Johnny. I mean, who was helping, like he directed most of my music videos. I gave him ideas and he said, okay, this is what's going to happen. So he's the man. But I love to act in them because I think I used to make believe when I was little in the mirror that I was in a music video. Like I always wanted to do that. So I think it stems from childhood.
I love that. I love that.
You know, so, and I'm just like in a La La Land, whatever.
It was Spice Girls videos. It was
yes, Genie in a Bottle. Like, oh my gosh, they killed it. Britney Spears, The One More Time. Like that was like probably one of the first music videos I would watch back to back. It was just, yeah.
I think one of my favorite videos of hers is Toxic. That's a great
Toxic. Yeah, I remember that one too.
For me, it was like Michael Jackson Thriller. I remember when that came out.
Right.
I remember just like the whole vibe of the whole world stopping everything. I remember watching him moonwalk. It was like, this is great. What is this? That's what I love about pop culture and especially American pop culture, because the whole world pays attention to what's coming out of this, you know, world's music. I mean, this country's music. It's like such a fascination. And when you see something take over, like a phenomenon, whether it's Adele or it's Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera or Michael Jackson, or whatever, there's this whole era of like, oh my God, you have to check out this music video. And you know, it's really great that you're still capturing that in your own music videos. Like there has to be a point when you're sitting there watching your finished music video where you're like, I'm doing it. This is awesome. This is what I've been dreaming of since I was a little kid, right?
Yes, yes. Now, actually, you know, just we saw these three videos. I'm actually thinking it now.
That's all.
It takes me a long time. I don't really believe it until I see it.
Right.
But I, yeah, you're right. I was like, damn, okay, we did the damn thing.
Also, it's like, it takes time, like, as you go past it, it's like, it gives you time to appreciate it. I feel like it's real easy to scrutinize it when you're so close to it. And then the farther away you get to it, you're like, you know what? It was pretty cool that we did that. This is a pretty whole idea concept. And every one of your videos was so different in such different, like, stark ways. And, like, that shows, that's a, like, a real big picture of you as an artist, because a lot of artists don't do that. They don't think of all those details and that side of, you know, being visual. And it's important to, like, make something that, you know, can, the world can be, like, dig their teeth into. And then when they see there's all this attention to detail and all of it, it's like, oh, this is, yeah, you know, it means a lot. I love it because it's like, I'm always fascinated by music videos. I feel like music videos now, I'm sure you probably feel the same, they lack a little bit of that original creativity that it used to have in the early 2000s, in the 80s and the 90s, where it was like, this, you're really getting a taste or a perspective of the artist for this music video. And now the music videos are like a secondary thing. It's like, oh yeah, and there's a music video, instead of like the music video defined the artist. Tell me, yeah, like, how you feel about how the visual form is now coming back, because it is coming back. Tell me how you feel about that.
It's coming back, meaning it's more popular for artists now?
Yeah, because like, what's crazy. A lot of my friends who have kids, they say that the kids don't care about TV and film. They love music videos on YouTube. They watch YouTube constantly. YouTube is now their MTV. YouTube is their TV and their movies. Like,
okay.
So it's, well, like,
I like that.
It's really interesting that you're using YouTube as a way to create media, because believe it or not, people will find it and they will kind of like come around to it as you're kind of creating content. So it's like, I hope you never stop making music videos, because there's a real art to what you're doing and it's a very visual, and you've got the music chops too. So it's just got this cool marriage of visual and music. Do you think about the music video when you're making the song, or do you think about that way after the song is done?
Sometimes during the song or after. I have a few ideas in mind for a few songs that I have just sitting there waiting to just be in a music video, but you know, it takes time, money. So I try to play it smart. But yes, that is definitely one thing that comes to mind during like either my writing process or the end of it. Because I'm like, this would be a dope music video if we could do this here. And yeah, it definitely.
I love that you think about that, because most artists are like, the music video is like falls to the wayside. And it's like, now it's like, I think you can't, it has to be one of the major things. You make a song, you make a video. It has to be that.
So
you
know? I think the next song I'm putting out though, I'm going to try to just put the song out first and then get the music video up maybe a month or two later. I've never done it like that before. But it's so popular that it's like, why don't you just get your streams up and get that popular, make some, you know, promo videos, reels, but it doesn't have to be a huge music video until people know it.
Right.
Well, that's the other side of me. That's like, I should start doing that maybe too.
It's hard to figure out what is the thing that is going to be the tipping point. All the thing that matters is that you're making content. Like, believe it or not, it's almost like, you know, people won't catch up. Like, you're going to be ahead of the curve and people are going to, they're not going to catch up to you as long as you're coming up with ideas. But the moment you're like, kind of like you're calculating, like, well, if I do this and then do this, it's like, you're not serving the purposes of being an artist. Just be an artist. Like, you're already doing the thing. Like, you're making music videos that are super cool, super cinematic. They've got a vibe. It's like, you're in the videos, you're acting in them. You know, it's amazing that you don't have any theater background or anything. Like, you just.
No, but I used to play. I used to just act in my own room.
That's awesome.
You know, it just came from just being me by myself.
Do you pursue acting now at all or no?
No, I would love to do like a commercial or something, but you know, work. So maybe if the opportunity arises.
Well, I love it. Well, you're a woman of many talents and I hope you pursue all of them. Where can people find you if they want to find you online?
La Raca Flaca. LaRacaFlaca.
That's your Instagram or website?
Instagram, or Facebook, look it up on YouTube. It's all the same. A lot of people confuse it for Lara or Lara, but it's La Raca Flaca. It's just all together in one word.
I know you as La Raca Flaca, so I never even thought of that. But now that I look at it, it's like, oh yeah. So what do they think? It's Lara.
They say, hey, Lara. Hi, Lara. And I'm like,
Lara Kaflaka.
That's not my name. Yeah.
That's what you're like, no, that's not going to happen. And you, yeah. you must have Italian roots with your last name, Scuti, correct?
Yes.
So what does your Italian family think about you pursuing music? Because music runs in your veins. If you're an Italian, it comes from opera. Opera was the first cinema. That's what, you know, like it really was mm-hmm. the first cinema for art. So your Italian family must love that you're pursuing music and going after this dream, because a lot of people probably don't go after it. And I hope they are embracing all the colors that you're painting the world with, because it is in your blood. It is like, I feel like a connection with Italians all the time. And like, I feel like I was born with an Italian heart. So it's like, I there's something about music and Italians. It just, it's where it was kind of born in a lot of ways. So tell me that, like, they love these music videos and they love the music that you're making.
They appreciate it. They're proud of me. I mean, I'm their only child, so they're very sad that I'm all the way across the country, but
of course.
They're rooting me on regardless. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, tell your family they made a good one. They made a good apple for sure. And one more time, where can people find you? La Rocca Flocca on at La Rocca Flocca on Instagram, correct?
Yep, at La Rocca Flocca, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, but I'm not really on.
You're like, you can look for me, but I'm not going to do anything on there.
I don't post much, so.
No, it's tough. You know, it's funny. It's like, that's part of it where it's like, I'm starting to do TikTok just because everybody's like, you got to do TikTok. It's right. Like, there's always some new form of social media that you're like, oh, you got to do the thing on that's that you're not doing. It's like, okay, so I'm chasing my tail with this, but you would be a good welcome presence on TikTok. So maybe that should be your next thing, that you just kind of make a presence on TikTok with all that you're doing musically, visually, all of it. So anyways, check out La Rocca Flocca's music on YouTube. Check her out on Instagram at La Rocca Flocca. And on behalf of Rachel Scuti, aka La Rocca Flocca, Sam and myself, we wish you guys the best. Peace, love, take care of yourselves, take care of each other. Peace, love, and hair grease.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.